Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Rewiring Your Life podcast. My name is Marcia Stone, and I will be your host today. My beautiful co-host, Erica Spiegelman, is not going to be joining us today, but we are so excited to be here with our phenomenal guest that I'm going to introduce in just a moment. Rewiring Your Life podcast, we aim to provide tips, tools, and conversations on wellness, inspiration, and support. We have extraordinary guests who are literally changing the world through their expertise, and they know what it's like to lead their best lives and inspire us to do the same. And my guest today is Dr. Karen Plymel. I have to tell you a little bit about Dr. Plymel. First of all, we grew up together in South Georgia. We are literally childhood friends that have gone our separate ways and had different paths in our lives, but we've always stayed connected. And she's just one of the most inspiring people that I've ever known, and smart. Absolutely way smarter than me, especially in algebra, but we won't talk about that today. Dr. Plymel, are you here?
I am right here, Marcia.
Well, welcome. And, you know, I'll just say a little bit. You'll have to fill in some of the rest of the details, but Karen went to medical school and she did high-risk OBGYN practice for I think maybe like 25 years or so, and then got really interested in integrative medicine and, you know, holistic approach, really focusing on women's health and aging, and, you know, now has a, you know, she's like a world-renowned speaker, and I mean, I can't even say it all in one breath, so what did I leave out? I mean, there's so much that you've been doing, and I just want to hear about all of it.
Well, thank you, Marcia. I appreciate that. And, you know, we do go back so far, don't we? We had that amazing upbringing in a small rural town, and I credit so much of where I am today in so many areas of my life, but that has to be so fundamental to where I am. A little bit about, I think you're right in some of the things that you said. It's been a constant evolving in my life. I did do OB. I did a little bit of high-risk OB for my time, but preceding that, I was an occupational therapist. I went down that route because, Marcia, you'll remember in South Georgia, as a female, we could be a couple of things, a school teacher or a therapist, but really to be a physician and to be a leader and to be a female leader was really not something we could do 25, 30 years ago. So I went the occupational therapy route first, but I will tell you, I do not regret that time of my life. And it really was another building block for me. It gave me that holistic look. It gave me that manual medicine background, which I think has really helped me as a physician. So did that for 12 years. I had a life-defining moment, and I decided I was going to really pursue my dream, and that was to be a physician. So off I went. And came back a physician and devoted my time to women's health care. And lo and behold, men started coming. And they would come to all the appointments and they would go, "Will you please do family practice?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm not board trained in that. I'm board trained in OBGYN." And so long story short, I took this wandering pathway and kind of came back to my roots. And Marcia, if you remember, a lot of people at home didn't really like doctors. And they really had a lot of wise tales and no, did a lot of supplements. And I've come back kind of full circle and mixing conventional medicine, allopathic training, come back to that whole person, looking at that manual background, spiritual grounding, and kind of some simple things. So bringing in the allopathic training, that surgical training, back with my roots. So that's where I'm at.
When I think about that whole, you know, evolution, really, you know, I think you're right, first of all, that a lot of just the sort of resilience and grit and, you know, all those things that you and I've talked about before do come from being raised, you know, with like, you know, small town family values and stuff like that. And so when you took all of that and then you were doing your, you know, high risk OBGYN, lots of stress, lots of pressure, Was there like a defining moment where you really realized like there's so much more to this that I need to and feel compelled to explore? I guess, you know, holistically. That's the word. I don't know what another word for it is. To look at the whole body and the whole person. Was there a moment where you just kind of knew that you wanted to pursue that?
I think that's a great question. I don't know if it ever really left me. I think that was really key for me. It was the start of my career. Then I had to go in a little bit deeper into the science and again, the surgical part of it. And then I had to come back again full circle. But there was that time that I knew I was not achieving the results that I wanted for someone. And I could no longer do that walk-in 5 or 10 minute visit and get that impact on health. So I knew that the acute care we could do, that quick thinking, that quick life-saving, those quick decision-making, but it was that chronicity that I knew that I was missing. And maybe moving to the Metro Detroit area was a little bit more of an eye-opener for me too, because when I sat with my patients, I started extending that 10-minute visit and I started looking at the nutrition. I started looking at their transportation. I started looking at diabetes and the obesity rate, and Marsha, I just couldn't do it anymore. And so, yeah, I guess there was a defining moment, but then again, it really never left me. So it all just came back home to me again.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you and I were talking and you were telling me, didn't you go study in like Switzerland or Sweden or something? And I remember you talking to me just about the eye-opening experience that was. Am I getting that wrong? Wasn't it like sort of one of the Nordic countries?
I went to Swiss Clinic just for a time out for myself because I had pushed it so hard. And I just knew that I needed to get away and find some balance. And you can't do that in a week moment, or in a week's time frame. Mm-mm. But that was really defining for me too, is to get away, to unplug, to go and experience a different approach to medicine. So that's probably what you're thinking.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. And what was that experience like for you?
You know, something very different than what our healthcare has, or maybe our healthcare does have it. It just didn't have it in a one wellness center type approach, but lots of detoxification. Again, the mixture of a traditional allopathic approach with herbs and foods really being the center of health. So they introduced me more to detoxification and teas and really got me back into nature and into the Swiss and the hiking and a little bit cleaner of a living. That was pretty powerful for me.
Wow. And how long were you there? I'm just curious.
Just a week. I wished I could have been there longer, but the week and a week is never enough. But for me, it was. It just gave me that time to unplug.
Yeah.
Very little contact with my family, very little contact with the cell phone, just time away.
Yeah.
And again, to focus on my body, to hear my body again, and to see a different approach to medicine than what I was doing here.
Yeah. And, you know, I've always known you to be a really healthy person and stuff. So you probably were already, you know, 10 steps ahead of most people that go there. Let me take a step back for a second. I'd like a general definition, if you could give me one, of functional medicine. What is functional medicine? Is it the same thing as integrative medicine? What helped me to understand and help the listeners to understand what we're talking about?
I think that's a great question because they do overlap. Integrative, functional medicine, complementary, alternative medicine. I think they all try to get back down to the same concept. And if I were really to coin it, it's a healing-oriented medicine. It's really looking at the whole person again, that spiritual, that physical. It's looking at nutrition, exercise, sleep, how we modulate stress, how we stimulate our bodies, our brains, bringing in some detoxification, bringing in supplements. It's that blending of conventional with allopathic training and this integrative. So maybe another way to say it is the Western medicine meets the Eastern medicine and some balance in between of those two. If that kind of brings it down, and I can give a lot of examples of that, but I think that's the broad definition of it.
So when we think of from an example standpoint, if someone comes in to see you, and I know that you do, you know, telecare all over the country, maybe the world, I don't know. But when you first start meeting with someone, What are some of the first things that you start to, you know, I guess, ask questions about? Do you have, is it like an assessment process? If someone wanted to just begin that journey into looking at their whole self? First of all, I think it's kind of scary for some people, I'll say for me, because it's almost like you're scared of what you might find that you're not doing right and, you know, need to do better at or something like that. But, you know, that may be just my being crazy. But like when you first start talking to someone, what is that process like?
I think that's a great question too, Marcia. Number one, I think when you come into functional medicine, my first job is to really try to put someone at ease. And if there's nothing that my patients haven't taught me is, and probably the same thing in your line of work, is trust and rapport. If I can develop and establish rapport and establish that doctor-patient relationship, I know just simply from that, I'm going to start changing and impacting a life. So I guess your question is, what does it look like when you come to see me? And that's how I would frame that. So my visits are usually an hour to an hour and a half for the initial session.
I mean, that right there is so amazing and powerful. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that is like, that's amazing to me. And I think would be to most people who are used to the 15-minute doctor thing. But anyway, go ahead. So they're an hour, hour and a half, and what's happening?
So I ask most of my patients, if you can, give me a simple form. I don't want to overwhelm them. But the more I know about that person when they come in, the better off I can start wrapping my head around what I can do for them. Because what I can do for them also may not be their goals, right? So I have to know where they are, meet them where they are, and then try to help take them to where they want to go. So I look at myself as a physician, a little bit of a life coach, a little bit sprinkled in counselor. So they come in usually for that hour to hour and a half visit. I do ask them to fill out a form. If I can get labs ahead of time, that's very helpful for me. I can look to see, do they have diabetes? Do they have high cholesterol? So they come in, they sit down either in person or virtually, and we start going through their health, their sleep, their exercise habits, their stress levels. I go from top to bottom, just like I really, really was taught in medical school. And what I was taught in medical school is 80% of everything that I do should be from that initial encounter. I don't have to have all the labs and the imaging. They support what I hear in that first hour. And that's really what my first looks like. And then I go to supporting that with labs. And then some of the kits that I do are maybe not what traditional medicine would do. But that's what it looks like for me. And that's where I'm a little bit different. So listening is really, active listening is very important in my job. And trying to put on my medical detective cap to figure out maybe some holes or where someone else hasn't thought. Because most people come to me out of frustration, or they come to me because someone else can't figure out where their health is or why their health is why it is, if that makes any sense.
Totally. And, you know, I'll just say, you know, in full disclosure, Karen, like, you know, I said at the beginning of this, Karen and I have maintained contact and relationship our whole lives. But it was, I guess, about maybe, I don't know, I'm bad with time, but a year, year and a half ago, when I was, you know, sort of texting you out of frustration because, you know, I was hitting the 50-year-old female mark and, you know, looking at menopause and hormones and, you know, why am I, you know, breaking out in hot flashes and how come I can't sleep through the night anymore and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, what I just remember was I felt so at peace after I first spoke to you because, like you just said, you were able to normalize like what was happening and that fear just kind of started to dissipate almost immediately. And I wonder, you know, is that the reaction that a lot of your patients have?
I would hope to say that they would. That's what I would. I hope that that trust and that alleviation of fear, and that's my goal. And I think that's more important than anything else right now, Marcia, because we're living in such fearful times. So yeah, to hear that pleases me because we come in so fear-based, and especially with your health. I don't think we all know the health that we have until we start to lose it. And then, so yeah, if we can dial down that fear, you know, and especially I think it's a critical time in that perimenopausal. that's when we really can start to see some changes with our health. So yeah, bringing down that fear is important. And again, it goes back to active listening and to start to validate men and women when they start to go through the change of life or wherever they are in their life.
I really like what you just said, that lots of us don't value our health until we start to lose it. That's so true. And I've never really thought about that before, but it's like, I never valued, like, I have so much energy. I wake up, you know, with ready to take on the day. And, you know, when you start to feel like you can't quite do what you used to be able to do, first of all, that's not true. And you've helped me to see that that's not true. But you begin to sort of internalize these narratives that you tell yourself to excuse or to, you know, make sense of whatever's happening. And, you know, I think a lot of us, if we don't have the opportunity to go to, you know, a medical provider that is so skilled and, you know, I love what you said, medical detective, it's just, the fear can just compound after day after day, week after week, month after month. And, you know, I think we also live in a society where we don't like to sort of, you know, air our dirty laundry or whatever. And, you know, just to be able to come to a place with you or another, you know, provider like you to begin to appreciate and to bring back little by little the health that you've enjoyed your whole life, you know? And so let's talk about that a little bit. Like how, like what's the process? Do you, after that first meeting, do you usually like to get labs done or do you have like, you know, try this and a follow-up meeting or, you know, what is that? I know what it was like for me, but what is that process like for your patients and other people?
And that's the beauty of it, Marcia, is so individualized. And that can be a little bit hard to give a black and white answer to. It really is what that person brings to me. So let's use you for an example. You came to me kind of perimenopausal. So I knew kind of the direction to go from you, but it really came in to what your issue was. So I tailored what I need to do for you for the symptoms that you brought for me. And that might be different than an 18-year-old, right? So if that person comes to me for weight issues, they come to me for nutritional counseling, they come to me for that perimenopausal, they come to me for diabetes. It really is what they bring to me. So that's a little bit harder for you, again, just to give that black and white. I will tell you, I do a lot of hormonal work for men and women. I do a lot of gut work. The microbiome is so important to health. And some of it just gets down to be really simple things. Clean air, clean water, clean environment, clean friends, clean community, and education. But if I had one black and white, easy way to go, I'd work on gut health, number one, for any age, young, middle-aged, old.
Okay, two things that I really want to get to today. Gut health, number one, and hormones, number two. You just named both of them. These things are on my mind literally on a daily basis. So can you kind of walk us through, like when you say gut health, what does that mean? And how do we begin that healing process? Just in general, I know everyone's different, but just in general.
Gut health is...
Oh, wait, I have one more question too. What does leaky gut mean? I'm dying to know what leaky gut means. I hear that all the time now.
I think leaky gut is just our way of saying our gut's unhealthy. So think of your gut as tile work, okay? The gut is so tightly connected and seals everything for us. The more we put into it that might be inflammatory, that tile metaphor, we start to take out the grout that's in between that tile. And things can get in between that and cause even more inflammation. It becomes leaky. It's no longer contained inside that gut and it becomes systemic. And when it becomes systemic, the entire body gets inflamed. So you probably heard the gut-brain connection. The gut or the GI mucosa is only one cell thick. That's why in medicine, we come back to what Hippocrates said so long ago, that the gut is a center of health. It's one layer thick. It can get inflamed so quickly, and it can start to separate out those tight junctions and lead to the so-called leaky gut. And when the leaky gut is there, those tiles are opened up, it can go systemic. And that's one thing or one reason we think autoimmunity is on the rise. So things get through the gut, it's supposed to be contained in there, and it starts to create more and more inflammation. And that inflammation creates more inflammation. And then that becomes the basis of chronic illness or chronic disease. So leaky gut, we try to go in and we try to stabilize that. So gut health, very important. Gut, liver, brain. So leaky gut, I hope I gave somewhat of an idea of what that is, but it's permeability, for lack of better words. Things can get through it and it should be contained inside it. It needs to be digested. It needs to be broken down. And it doesn't do that. It gets outside that container, for lack of better words, and gets into the system and causes inflammation. Does that help you?
Yes, it totally does. And, you know, I know these days I hear a lot about that. I hear a lot about probiotics, prebiotics, all the different ones. And you've taught me a lot about that and gotten me on, you know, a supplement routine that's been, I mean, amazing, like worked miracles. But, you know, can you, what would be like a few things that you could recommend to people like today that they can change in their diet or change in their lifestyle to address that all important gut health that you were just talking about?
I think simple things first. And I think when you look at a food, just put a small question there. Is this going to cause inflammation? Is this processed? Is this close to the farm? Is it in a box? Was it raised on the farm? I would always try to get something as clean and as organic as possible as you can. So think before you eat or drink, is this going to cause some inflammation? What is this going to do to my gut health? That's where I would start. Probiotics, prebiotics are great. I always try to go the food route first.
Right. Yeah. I remember you talking to me about that. And, you know, we're like going back to the way we were brought up, you know, I mean, we were brought up and, you know, I mean, this is just the truth. Like the things that we ate were grown within, you know, a 50 mile radius of where we were living. That included all meats, all vegetables, all fruits. And, you know, these days, I don't know. It's just, It's really kind of sad and remarkable that there's so many processed foods that it almost feels like we have to do that because it's, you know, the time constraints. But, you know, I've been working from home for the last year or so because of the pandemic. And I got to tell you, like, I've been cooking more and just, you know, fresh things. And it does make a difference. It's not overnight, but after time, I can tell, like, I don't feel as puffy as I did, you know, just those things. And it reminds you, again, like what you said earlier, about the value of your actual health.
Simple things, Marcia. So many people come to me looking for supplement suggestions, and I can do that. But we're talking about sustainability and some education. So again, to go back to what you were asking me and how to heal this leaky gut and how to protect that. Because remember, one thing I didn't mention is 70% of your immune system is in your gut. 70 to 80% of your nutrients is in your gut. So we can take in food, but can you absorb it? The immune system is so important. I think we recognize that even more with COVID, right? So back to the foods, and not everyone can maybe afford to eat organic, especially with inflation. So simple things again, going back to cooking with herbs. Herbs do wonderful things for the gut. They're anti-inflammatory. They're antibacterial. They're antifungal. They restore homeostasis or balance back into that gut. So they protect us from leaky gut. That's really inexpensive to do. I teach people about clarified butter or ghee. And if you don't know about ghee, ghee is basically butyrate. It is a clarified butter. It is so soothing to the gut. So a very inexpensive way to come in and protect that mucosa. Teach people about proper oils. So processed foods, one thing, but what we cook our foods in is so important for brain health. So bringing it down to simple things like that has made all the difference in the world. And this is going to sound so simple, but a soup a week can change your gut health. Getting back down to an old-fashioned broth once a week really does bring in the amino acids. It restores and protects us from that leaky gut. So you don't have to always go about it in an expensive way, but bringing in butyrate, small chain fatty acids, medium chain fatty acids, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. That old saying I never understood, but it brings in butyrate. And butyrate, butyrate basically is the guardman at the mucosa to protect leaky gut. So there's lots of ways you can restore it, protect it, and simple food changes. So I love that you're eating at home. And another thing, you know, Marcia, when you eat at home and when you cook your own food, it brings in mindfulness.
Yes, yes.
It makes you appreciate. It makes you appreciate what's going into your body. So that's one thing that I look at gut health and the leaky gut. That's one approach.
Yeah, I love that. And it's also, like you said, it brings mindfulness and, you know, I think it brings family. Last night we were, you know, we had a big Easter, dinner yesterday at lunchtime. And then last night I was just taking some of the ham that we had left over and I was just going to make like these little sandwiches with, you know, the little rolls and everything. Anyway, my son, he's 17. He came in. He's like, "What are you doing, Mom?" And I told him, I was like, "Do you want to help me?" He's like, "Yeah." So he's helping me slice the ham. He's helping me slice the cheese. And all of a sudden you're just having, you know, conversation. And I think all of that stuff goes to health, you know, community and love and good foods and good choices and all that stuff. So you thank you because you've sort of brought that back to me. You know, we forget about it. We get so busy. Okay. But before we get on, but I don't want to run out of time before we talk about hormones, because this was like the game changer for me. So hormones, Dr. Plimal, help us with hormones. We're all, you know, we weigh more than we want to, you know, we need more energy, all those things. So how do hormones affect all of our sort of the way we live, the way we, you know, move about?
I don't think there's any silver bullet in medicine, but I think hormones might be close. And I love my mother for teaching me about hormones. She must have been my biggest role model, and I had no understanding of it when I was growing up. And I've come full circle. And even as a board certified gynecologist, I was not taught hormone therapy. But I will tell you, Marcia, it is one of the most beautiful things that I've ever known. And I give my patients credit for that, because you asked me when that defining time was, probably sitting on that stool in front of women, and I couldn't help them during their change of life. And the more I learned about hormones, the more I realized I did them a disservice by A, not knowing enough about them, and B, not treating them soon enough. Hormones are beautiful. They are anti-inflammatory. They help balance us. It's more than just hot flashes. They protect our brains. It protects our heart for cardiovascular disease. And that's mine and your number one risk factor. We now, as women, are better at dying from heart attacks than men are. We've succeeded them at that. So heart health, brain health, it does help us balance out our weight. It's not everything about weight. But if you notice, for everyone that's listening out there, as women go through the change, and men, I can talk, men need hormones too, just a little bit different way. But as women go through the change, they typically can't sleep as good as they used to. It's different going to sleep than staying asleep. But as your progesterone drops, and it usually drops around 35, you can't get into stage 4 sleep as much as you could. So it also helps you get into deeper sleep and maintain that sleep. Great anti-inflammatory. And bone structure. One of my biggest misses as a gynecologist is I waited a 60 or 65 years old to give a woman a bone mineral density. And when we start to see bone structure changes, right when we start to see hormone change. And Marcia, the more I look at medicine, the more I realize, and I challenge you guys to look at this, women's health specifically starts to change when we lose our hormones. We notice more thyroid issues. We notice more autoimmunity when we lose the anti-inflammatory effects of the hormones. So again, anti-inflammatory, cognitive prevention, cardiovascular prevention, bone health, Critical. Colon cancer prevention risk on hormones. And it helps our moods. I didn't know this as a gynecologist, but estradiol works hand in hand with serotonin, the happy mood. Dopamine and testosterone, okay? Progesterone and GABA. And GABA is the slowdown, the inhibitory, the bring down our stress, the modulator, the healing component. So hormones go hand in hand with neurotransmitters. So many benefits of hormones.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember this, but that was like one of the first things that we did together because of, you know, the things I was telling you about, I can't sleep and, you know, just like energy and drive and all those things. And I remember about 6 weeks after you adjusted my hormones, I mean, I woke up one day and it was like, I don't know, it was like the birds, I could hear the birds singing a little clearer, the light, you know, everything just seemed like a little more in focus in a way, not like visually, but, you know, just like in totality. And I remember, you know, we were having a conversation and you just basically said, you know, you're a small person and you're, you know, taking too many hormones. But of course, you know, I think that we all have to give all the medical providers that we use some grace because you were talking at the first of this podcast about how rushed you felt and you felt like you wanted more time. But, you know, it was just a different type of atmosphere, I guess. And so just to go and take that time, I mean, it changed my life. And, you know, I have no doubt that all of your patients would say the same thing. Because, well, first of all, you're just amazing at what you do. And the work that you're doing is just so different. It's different than anything I've experienced. Do you hear that a lot?
I do. I really do. And I see it, Marcia, in the almost 25 years of some portion of medicine, I see the impact. And it's always better to do it in baby steps. But what I see that really is an eye-opener for me is the doctor-patient relationship. And the healthy approach, it's more like a healthy living and the accountability, the check-ins. But I will tell you, my 60 to 80-year-olds are far healthier than my 18 to 45-year-olds. It's that work that they're putting in. It's amazing. So yes, do I hear it? Yes. But more importantly, I see it. And that gives me the motivation to keep living this kind of life when I see people far older than I am living a quality life that I could believe that they could. More energy, more vitality, traveling. The outcomes when I compare what I was doing in the traditional world to what I'm seeing now, sometimes I can't. For example, I saw an 89-year-old male today. I cannot find a single thing wrong on his traditional labs. He is in fantastic shape. So yeah, I hear it and I see it. And there's no more joy as a physician to know that you've impacted someone's life than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine that would just be so rewarding. So you've done so many things, so many different things. And it's, you know, it's true that they've, you know, sort of built on each other and, you know, not regretting, you know, the occupational therapy period or the medical school or the, you know, OBGYN period, what you're doing now. I can see the evolution and how it's just, you know, really made you the woman and the doctor that you are today. So what's next? You know, what's you know, starting to sort of tickle your fancy now? Do you know?
That's a really good question. I don't know that I have the answer to that, except right now I'm doing a lot of one-on-one consultations. And I think my whole vision, Marcia, has been, for maybe the last 15 years, is I have a true center and a true wellness and let everyone be able to experience what I've experienced. Because let's face it, taking care of yourself is a full-time job and it's not cheap. It's expensive work. But to have that place that people could come in and be able to experience what I experience, and we're working on that. IV infusion for wellness. We've got a hot cat steam pod coming, a sauna coming, a massage therapist. I've got an integrative nutritionist coming for brain health. So that's where I'm going, maybe to have more of a community center that might meet everyone where they can be. The blue collar worker, the upper class, and provide it for everyone, if that, in my idealistic world. And then for me, growth. I think one of the most fascinating parts of my life is environmental medicine. And I didn't even know what that meant. But it's very intriguing for me what the environment is starting to do to our body. And that's a whole new learning level for me. So stay tuned on that one, but very intriguing.
I love what you said about community medicine, because it kind of reminds me, you know, when I was running the recovery center, we would have staffing. And so in staffing, the nurse would be there, the therapist would be there, the personal training gym guy would be in there. And everybody's kind of, you know, talking about this one client. And it was always amazing just to see, you know, what sort of, as a community of professionals, you know, what we all were able to learn from one another, you know, from that perspective, so that we could really look at the person wholly. And I think that that's what you're describing. And to me, that seems so exciting, because it's not just one thing. I mean, that's one thing I've learned recently from you, really, is, you know, the complexities of the body. I don't pretend to understand them, but it's a lot. It's so complex, right?
Yeah. And Marcia, I think that was one thing too, that we were kind of going down a little bit. Medicine's become very complex. And I think that's where people are very frustrated, and we do great at acute medicine, and I don't want to knock my traditional colleagues, but people are frustrated. They're having a difficult time navigating their health. So yeah, coming back to that community, helping them navigate, bringing them simple changes. Those simple changes are building blocks to good health. So that's where I think we're going and learning and doing. And it's just, it's fun and invigorating. I think it's invigorating for all of us. And I don't know about you, but I want to age gracefully. Let's face it, we're all changing, right? We all look in the mirror and we change every day. I'm going to fight that as much as I can. But it really feels good. It feels really good to start to be comfortable in your own skin and to like who you are and to have that vitality as we age. So yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know what door is going to open next, but I'm ready for it. Whatever door opens, I'm ready for it. I'm open.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. Well, I think we're almost out of time, and I just want to thank you so much for being with me today. And, you know, I just think so much of you, and just have enjoyed watching, you know, your life unfold the way that it has, and just to be so helpful and so tuned in to your gifts and your education. It's just, thank you so much for being with me today and being with our listeners today, more importantly.
Well, I appreciate it. And you're a great example of community for me and friendship. We've been friends over the time course, and that's very rare find.
So it goes back. We don't even want to say how many years.
Yeah, we don't. But it goes back down to that, Marcia. It really goes back down to transparency and finding those friends, and clean eating, clean friends, clean health. So, but I really thank you for having me on today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure and our listeners' pleasure. So at the end of every podcast, Erica and I always ask our guest what we call the deep dive question. Can I ask it to you? So,
of course,
Dr. Karen Plimal, what is your superpower?
My superpower, love for learning.
You're a student.
That may be my, I don't know if that's, yeah, a lifelong student. That's probably a good way to phrase it, Marcia. I don't ever want to stop learning, and I don't pretend to know it all. So yeah, lifelong student.
I love that. We've never gotten that answer before. I love that so much. For our listeners who joined us today for another exciting episode of Rewiring Your Life, thank you so much for being with us and being on this journey with us. This is Marcia Stone, and until next week, be well.